Welcome to the Grappling Grappling Rewind Podcast.
Welcome to this week on the Grappling Rewind Podcast. In this week's show, we're going to recap Fight to Win 182, headlined by a buzzer-beater match of Dante Leon versus Dobby Ramos, and we're going to preview the 2021 IBJJF Pan Championship. As always, in the show, I'm your host, Manger, the co-host.
Josh.
How you doing, Josh?
I'm well.
Josh, it is an old-school Grappling Rewind episode, scheduling up for episode 200. It is 11:40 at night on a Sunday.
Fuck.
After Josh worked, I think, 55 hours this week?
53.45, technically.
55 hours this week.
Sure.
So let's get into it. Josh, any news? I have a couple pieces for news other than really...
I didn't see that top one, so I'm interested for you to tell me about that piece of news.
Cody Steele made his, I think, pro debut, or at least his MMA debut. He had, a kickboxing fight or a boxing fight?
I think
fight?
A while ago we were talking about a kickboxing
Something like that. He won that. He just won his MMA debut in impressive fashion via knockout, and he's watching...
What round?
I don't know. I assume the first, but I don't know. I just saw the highlight of Steele kind of corralling the guy in the cage and just
beating the brakes off of him.
Very impressive.
Good for him.
Again, Steele has been really putting in the work there. We see him grapple. We see him now fight MMA. So it's been cool to watch him kind of continue to progress. The B team, Craig Jones, Nick Rodriguez, Nicky Ryan, and Ethan Carlinston have a spot. I think we talked about it a little bit last week. They have like a legit spot opened up in Austin. Tejas. And they are doing that.
I've seen a couple of videos of the spot. It's a nice looking.
Looks like a nice little like, yeah. Looks like a strip mall spot.
Like, it does look like it's in an actual strip mall.
Yeah,
like whatever. It looks like it's a big space.
It looks like a big enough space. It looks like, honestly, they look like they've had some fun guys come through already.
Yeah.
So, yeah, looks like a cool spot. I'm happy to see those guys get established. I hope that we see interesting stuff from them. I'm curious to see if we see any of them do trials. I assume not. Most of those guys should be invite guys. We may see
Craig,
Ethan.
Yeah.
We may see Ethan. I mean, Craig and Nicky. Both Rodriguez and Ryan. Like, both trials winners, medalists.
Nicky Rod was second place 2019?
No. Second place, yeah, to Kynan in plus 99, but it's like as a trials winner. We will see a medalist. Both of them, we will not see them do trials
again.
He'll
get an invite. He was exciting.
Ryan possibly will have to do trials again, but I kind of doubt, given his history there,
is it going to go down to 66? See, here's the issue now. Now we've got different teams.
And that was my segueing into Josh.
Thank you.
Now that we have the B team and New Wave Jiu-Jitsu, which is Gordon Ryan,
It's got a name?
I think they called it New Wave.
Oh,
like New Wave Jiu-Jitsu, which is Gordon Ryan, Gary Tonin, and then John Donaher. I'm curious to see if like they compete as different teams ADCC. I assume that Craig and those guys are going with B team. That's what they're going to do. I'm curious to see if we're going to see the next thing we'll see him compete at, which is probably who's number one, because we have brackets for that. Now we have a heavyweight bracket that's other in news. Josh, you fill and talk about trials while I find the lineup for.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. If they compete against each other again, Craig's probably going to be at 88.
I would assume he's not going to change divisions again.
Crelinston's
looking huge.
77?
He was at 66 previously because he beat Krikorian in trials and
he looks big as
but he
hell.
But he doesn't look like he's making 45.
He looks big as hell.
But again, it's ADCC. If there's ever an event that you're going to make
But you got to weigh in both days.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's big.
Who's easier to get down to that weight? Because again, Nicky Ryan.
I think Nicky's even bigger than Ethan is now. I think Nicky's walking to 85 now.
Yeah, he'd have to do 77.
Yeah, and he was talking about doing that in Garrigan on 66. So, I'm very curious to see if the team is going to,
who knows
what's going to happen. But it is interesting now that they have their own spot, and they really is a thing. And especially with North American Trials coming up in Jersey in...
It's the end of August, so September, October, November, 3 months.
Two and a half, three months. Yeah, I know we have a couple of guys, including you, Josh, that are now starting to prep for that.
Yeah, I got to lose a little bit of weight, but I'm going to do 88 kilos.
Nice.
And then a friend of the show and sometimes contributor, Rob Sullivan, is doing 77.
I trained with him tonight.
Yeah, I saw that picture just before or right after I got out of the shower. By the way, if you're ever invited to Maine's house, you have to take a shower. They have very plush and comfy towels.
They're luxurious, dog.
They are very nice. Yeah. I was like, ooh, this is a nice
towel. We took the towels out. She got you good towels.
Oh, thank you,
we love
Rachel.
You, Josh.
Thank
you. You officiated
Rachel.
Our wedding. We love you. You got the good towels at the main house.
I got the good towel.
So, yeah. So, that's trials coming up. We have a final bracket division for who's number one, the heavyweights, which is kind of a smattering
of,
like...
Is it, like, spread out, or do we have, like... who's going against who? Or
we
just
don't have
the
who's going for who. Okay. We just have who's in the division. We have Hossam Rita. We have Kynan Duarte. We have Luis Ponza. We have Tex Johnson. We have Mason Fowler. We have Tim Spriggs, Orlando Sanchez, and Kyle Bame. That is kind of a smattering of guys from 88.
They're all over the place.
Up to like plus 99.
Guys that cut to get to 88. Most of those guys are like under 99 guys. Spriggs is like an under 99 guy. Tex is above 99. Kynan probably floats.
Under 99.
Probably still floats between the under and over.
Yeah.
Hossam is probably barely able to make under 99.
Orlando
is obviously 300 pounds.
I think he's like 330, 320.
He's a biggin. I was watching the Nicky Rod Black Belt there.
Yeah.
I wasn't watching it. I was listening to it while I was driving to your house.
Somebody else texted me about that today. They're like, you're in that. I was like, yes, I'm in that. Yeah.
Yeah,
and it was just out of the blue. They just texted me. I just saw that, and you're in that. I was like, yes. Yeah. Jay did not tell me he was mic'd up. I very much hope I did not say anything.
Fuck those dudes.
But Fowler's an 88 guy. Again, he's cutting a bunch of weight to make 88. I think that cuts really hard.
It's
for
an
him.
Interesting bracket with like it's eight people, so obviously two sides of four.
Yeah, right? Eight man, two's number one, 30 grand.
Dude, that's gonna be.
That would. This is one
very
like,
interesting. Cool. I want to see how it's seeded before, like I give a. I'm gonna go with Kynan. That's the safe bet.
Yeah,
but I would love to see how it is seeded out, and who's going against.
Because really, like I think the seeding is a big thing there. It's like Kynan went into Orlando first round. You're like, yeah, that's a really tough round for. And like, he's like Kynan can beat Orlando. But that is not an easy first round for anyone. It's no. Or is it running a Tex first round? You know, or it's. Or Bame and Bame's tricks. It's
I'm making faces.
You
can't
are making
see
faces
it.
Again. I'm going to pick Kynan here for the bracket. And we'll talk about it more once we actually get the seeding. Once we actually get sort of how it's laid out. But it is a really interesting assortment of names so far. And
it'll be sick.
Yeah,
super, I'm excited.
Super excited for that one. So I don't have any other. Do I have any other news? Yeah, I have no other news.
Gordon Ryan's issues. Did you talk about that on last week? You guys want to talk? You want to talk about that?
I have no interest in talking about it. He's talked to medical doctors. They say that they can fix him, make him better than he once was before. He has a issue with the bacteria in his gut.
He said he has a yeast infection in his stomach, which, if you look into it, it's kind of.
Talking to Mike, Josh.
I'm sorry. I'm fidgety.
We're 200.
We're 199.
Well, technically, with all the ADCC episodes and the other shows and the half shows, we're technically
over
above 200, but numbered episodes, this is 199. Oh,
News. There you go.
Speaking of news, we've been talking about it for years, Josh. We are finally getting everyone on the Grappling Rewind together.
Everyone
for a I don't want to call it like a bullshit 200 show, but we're gonna have we're gonna have a real episode 200 show, and we're gonna have
a
special get together with everyone on the team. With like drinks involved, talking about jiu-jitsu, about the history of the show, about like
day one of Pan. So it'll be completely out of context when it's released.
Yeah.
Post the actual 200 episode.
Probably Wednesday of next week, recording it this weekend, but it should be a good get together. If you've watched the show for any number of shows, it's going to be a special bonus episode 200 show.
What time are we doing that?
I haven't coordinated that yet. I think it's like, I thought it was going to like late, like 9 or 10.
I don't know. Let's figure that shit out.
We should, Josh.
I do have to work the next day.
Ooh, that's on you.
Look, I got Friday, Saturday off. I somehow won that one. I don't know how, but I did.
So we're recording that next week. Look out for that show. It's been
technically this week.
Josh, time is a construct. So it has been a ride for 200 episodes. Very excited to finally. Josh, we've been talking about it for like
Think about this. It is 2021.
Yeah.
We technically started this in 2017, right?
Correct. November of 17.
This is almost 4 years.
Yeah.
We started in Maine's kitchen in his old place.
Yep. On the show, I got the offer accepted for this house during the recording of one of the shows.
I think we were like 15 or 20 in, something like that, and he got the offer for the house we're currently in.
Yeah.
while recording a show. Those shows also took like 3.5 hours to record.
We didn't know what we were doing.
And we started them at like 10 o'clock at night, and we would easily finish at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Also, yes. Side note, if you don't know for whatever reason, the Grappling Rewind Podcast. That's fucking me. I fucked it up. I told him I would mess it up when he did it, and he kept that in, and that's what it's been for 200 fucking episodes.
That's literally the first thing we ever recorded. I was like, Josh, just do it. You're good. And he does it, and he messes it up. And I was like, well, we're keeping that in forever, 4 years later. So this and many more stories are coming down the pipe on episode 200. It'll be all about, like, behind the scenes of, like...
Except for Austin. Austin, we would love for you to fucking be here, but you have to be, like, a hero... And be somewhere that we don't know where you are, technically.
He's deployed.
I know.
Somewhere.
And hope you're safe, brother.
He has like a many-hour difference. We'll work. So that is this coming week. You will hear that bonus show on Wednesday if you're into that. If not, you get the normal show.
You hear a bunch of drunk people talk.
About grappling rewind and jiu-jitsu and jiu-jitsu stories. So that does it for the news section. Josh, I don't have anything else.
No.
Let's move into the recap of Fight to Win 182. I want to start with the big match.
Yo, that shit was fire.
Yeah. We had Dante Leon versus Davi Ramos, and they came out.
They were going
the entire match. It was Dante, and it was
Dante
a great match.
Playing a lot of guard, half guard, mm-hmm. coming from butterfly guard, just trying to build up, and Davi just... trying to pass
the entire time.
It was 10 minutes.
You have some areas where they'd stand up and you'd immediately see like those outside, like open wide shots that Dante'd shoot. They'd played a lot on the edge, and like they were both fighting on the edge super hard. But then the match would get reset, and you'd go back to Leon on
and
his
then
back.
A fucking CDC ad for smoking would come on.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
I'm going to interrupt you.
Let's talk about that at the end of the yes. at the end of the segments. Seth's talked about that and. We'll talk about
We're
that.
We're talking
in a minute.
About it. God damn it!
And then I was trying to pick this match. Like, okay, where would I give the decision? Because I was like, okay, it's probably not going to go to sub. Spoiler: it does in the last second.
Literally.
And I'm thinking about like, although Leon is under him and he's going for the outside leg, he's kind of going almost for like a deep half, like an X guard entry. But Ramos is doing a really good job putting nice top pressure in, like really trying to fold over the knee in passing. He's trying to like long step pass around the half guard, around the guard. And this dynamic plays out for about like 8 or 9 minutes of the match where that's happening. Ramos is in, crushing passing pressure, but never really able to get fully passed. And Leon is continually looking under, going for like violent arm locks. And he's like, he's throwing up a little bit of like sub offense that's never really deep. And I went, I have no idea how
there's
I would choose
no,
this.
There's no, like, even, like, minor threat submission.
Yeah, I mean...
Threat
yeah, like,
of submission.
Yeah.
He was looking for him, but anytime he would start to look for it, Davi would clear it. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to sneeze.
And then...
Now, Davi was trying to pass, but how would you... That's one of those ones where it's like... How do you fucking score this?
Right. And if I do win, it's like, well, Leon's kind of going, but he's never really getting anything going. But Davi is consistently putting pressure on the top, but Leon is consistently on the bottom looking. And it was like, it was a neat match for me to play pretend of like, okay, who would I give this to? And then I didn't have to because Davi Ramos,
fucking
with
amazing.
20 seconds left, is like, you know what? I'm going to seal this one. Jumps over the guard, goes for a knee bar, kind of like the way he does the flying arm bar. Like,
but the thing was, he jumped, and if you look at it, because we literally looked at it before we started recording yeah. as well. He was way too high as soon as he jumped, but he was just trying to get something.
It was 20 seconds
which
left.
Which is understandable. I think it was even less than that.
It was like, it was, sorry, 20 seconds or less. I think it was at 20 seconds, but Ramos goes, okay, we've had a 10-minute match. We're the main event. There's 20 seconds left. I'm going to jump for this knee bar, a leg lock at the end.
He fucking whiffed it. That was the thing. He whiffed it just enough where... Dante came under with like that like pseudo crab ride kind of yeah. position and just immediately is up on the back and starts attacking.
He gets the back with 7 or 6 seconds left and he
super
throws the choke
yeah.
in. He throws it over the shoulder.
And
I went,
just fucking squeezes. Anything like, above the neck is the neck.
I was like, he's belly down. He's Ramos belly down. He threads it under. He gets over the shoulder. He throws it in and just goes. And I went, oh, he's not going to get this. And then he just like...
With 1 fucking second left, literally 1 second, Davi
taps. It was
taps.
So close, the commentary didn't know if it was like in regulation for time. And the ref...
Yeah, again, the commentary thought that Kai Otero was in the corner of Sameer Chantry. So we'll just leave it at that.
Dante finishes. Dante gets the sub with 1 second left. He got the bat. Forget what weight it was at, I think.
Probably a little bit heavier than what Dante is. I know Davi cut down to 88 when he won.
Okay.
And that's a big boy.
Davi was 88?
He won 88, yeah.
Laprise 88?
Did he do... Holy shit, it was 77.
I think it was 77, yeah.
Fuck, I forgot that's it was 77.
I don't think
I forgot about
that.
Yeah,
he cut the 77 for that one. So I think this one is probably at around about, like, 180.
I want it... Well, at 88 is 193.
So I think this is probably a welterweight title fight. I don't remember.
It was fucking awesome.
Dante's not the champion. I am amped to have Dante in that championship spot. Very curious
to see who's good.
But that crab right, and then having the wherewithal in the dying seconds of the match to defend the knee bar, get underneath him, get the choke in the span of
10 seconds
at the end of a match was just a wild way to end the event. And I was very, very happy.
His last big match was Nicky Ryan, right?
That's what I have on Flow, that's what they have listed as his last match, and that was a loss.
So if you think about that, like, he got outworked, and it was like, wow, what's going on with Dante? And this just was like, I had a night off, sorry, here I fucking come.
Yeah.
He looked great.
We've also been super high on Dante for a couple of years now.
For years,
which,
yeah.
Which, again, he placed fourth at ADCC, the match with Canuto at Kasai. I always get it wrong. I always say
third
he
or
got,
second.
I always say he gets. For years, I've said second on the show. Somebody corrected me, and he got fourth.
I don't think he placed
because I said it for years.
Look that shit up.
I can look it up. So
look it up.
Moving on to the next, Josh. I'll look it up. You want to talk about Shamir and Grippo, or you want to talk about
Shamir?
Samir.
Zabigal and Shamir. Let's talk about. Let's just go in order. So let's go after Dante and Davi. Edwin Najmi versus Jackson Nagai.
This surprised me.
This surprised me. None.
You've
zero.
You've been high on Nagai for a little bit now.
Doesn't he have a brother too, Sam?
Sam. I've been high on Sam Nagai. Like, I know Sam Nagai.
I'm high on the Nagais.
I'm super like high on his performances.
It's in there somewhere. Anyway, he came out and was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull guard on you. And because everybody knows with Najmi, like, do they really not have it fucking listed?
They do. ADCC, third. He lost the third place match to Gary Towner.
Okay. So he did take fourth.
He placed fourth.
Okay.
Yeah. Somebody corrected me like 6 or 8 months ago, and I thanked them very much, and I went, I can't believe I'm getting that wrong for 2 years. Go back and watch Dante Leon's matches. It's fire. Moving on to this match.
Yeah.
Edwin and Nagai.
Nagai pulls, like, jumps guard, and he does something really fucking cool as he's attacking. So he's looking for that De La Hiva hook. He's looking for, you know, that Baron Bolo. And Najmi is really good at defending that. He's been defending it since, like, blue and purple
since,
belt.
Like, it's
like,
been
at
a,
the
since
highest
it's been
level.
A thing. Like, yeah. He was on the cutting edge of that game becoming
yeah,
the meta
pretty much.
At the time.
Nagai does that, like, that leg pinch, that wraparound. I call it a leg pinch sweep. Where you wrap your legs around their knees and you just fucking tilt
it
them over.
It kind of looks like a double ankle sweep, but it's like, but you're getting your legs around it to do it.
So he wraps his full guard around his legs. But what's really cool is he doesn't just go for the tilt to try to come up. He then, like, rolls underneath and tries to come on top that way. And audibly this morning, because again, I didn't get home until like 1 something in the morning after work, and I was like, well, I'm not watching this right now. I will watch it when I wake up. So that's what I did. I was like, fuck! And my wife was like, what? I was like, jiu-jitsu. She goes, oh, okay. And I kept watching it. And I'm texting the
grappling
rewind
chat.
I'm like, yo, did you see this? That shit was fire. And he just went on the move from there. And that was the thing. Like, he was constantly attacking, always looking for something. Najmi looked like he was going to try to jump for a flying triangle at a certain point, and the guy had scouted it, so it went to guard for a little bit. Najmi came back up. You know, again, it was a lot of that back and forth, and again, he goes for that little leg pinch sweep. He sets up that, he starts setting shit up from guard and does that, as you call it, the baby arm?
Yeah.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, I mean, there's one thing that happens before this kind of finishing sequence.
Oh, go on, yeah,
here.
Sorry.
I was curious about, we had some dueling toeholds there for a second.
Oh, yes, I forgot about that.
We had definitely the guy, I think, again, the camera angle was looking at the guy having the foot.
The triangle came out. See, I'm skipping around, and because you're talking about the toehold, it made me remember that all of that sequence was set up off of Najmi trying to do that straight ankle lock.
And that's what I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before with Najmi. Like, Najmi tends to prefer the straight ankle lock over all other foot locks.
He's fucking good at them.
He's good at it, but like, we looked it up a couple weeks ago, and like, when's the last time he's finished a guy with like a botinia or a straight ankle lock? It's been a while. Like, he goes for them a lot.
He's been on and off like the scene. Like, he'll disappear for a little bit and then come back and then disappear.
But he's back in the gi. But so that sequence I thought was interesting because the guy like seemed nonplussed about it. And again, it's a straight ankle lock. Like, guys can no sell those pretty well. But it was interesting. Again, it's something we saw in the last match with Najmi versus, I think, Tama when he gets heel hooked. And in this match as well, where he's going really, really hard on that straight ankle lock, and the other guy kind of goes, okay. And then the guy almost takes his back off of that.
Yes. And then he sets up that fucking triangle, mm-hmm. and he starts to go through, and I'm like, ooh.
He gets the side control with it, and he pulls a lapel out, and then he kind of like baby arms. He just shifted it and then
locked it in proper, and I was like, all right, is he going to finish it? What are we going to do here?
Well, the guy steps over from side control with it, like does that big step from side control with the lapel. He steps over, and then he falls to, and then he falls like to mount, and then Najmi rolls him over trying to get out.
He finishes it. That's right.
And then he pulls his head down, and he gets it, and I watched it three separate times to figure out exactly why Najmi like paused there. And it's because when the guy pulls out the lapel, and I couldn't see what lapel he had. I assume he has Najmi's own lapel underneath, and he traps it over the wrist of Najmi, and then he pulls it to the neck. Because when I saw the guy do it initially, I thought he was working for like a collar choke. And I was like, okay, that's weird. It's weird Najmi's not bringing his hand up to move that away. Maybe he doesn't care. And then I saw the guy step over the leg, and I went, okay, I'm not seeing something that's happening here. I don't know what I'm missing, but the angle of the camera, I was missing that the guy had trapped, and when I say baby arm, I mean like,
I know what you're doing.
Yeah. I'm trying to explain it, like, you trap their arm in their own lapel, so it's like, it's next to your hand is next to your face, but it's trapped in your own gi, and you can't move it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the guy steps over, he yanks, Najmi rolls, and then the guy is just like pulling down on the head, and the triangle's not even like a beautifully locked in super hard triangle.
It's not super tight, but you can see that it's in there. It's not one of those like hard cut angles where you're like, that person's about to die.
Yeah.
But it was still in there.
But then he's got both hands on the head. He has the gi, and Najmi's arm is stuck in, so he can't defend well. And you see him, Najmi's hand is on the outside of the guy's like thigh, and he can't push or do anything with it because the gi is pulling it down. Najmi's other arm is on the other side in the triangle. He can't use that for anything. And then the guy just pulls it down, gets the finish. And I went, huh, I'm extremely surprised by that entire sequence. But my stock in Jackson the Guy shot up with that.
He's fucking good, man.
Yeah. But again, to finish, to triangle Najmi, the guy that's known for triangling people, like...
The guy that flying triangled Nicholas Mergali at Purple Belt Absolutes because he was mad because he lost to Rick Slamba.
Yeah.
Because he tried to fucking footlock the shit out of him. And I was like, I texted Rick later. I was like, dude, your foot. And he goes, I would have let that shit break.
Yeah.
For sure.
Finals Purple Belt Worlds.
Dude, he kept running into Najmi and always coming up on the bad end. And he was just like going, going, going. And I was like, bro.
We've walked into some very local conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was...
It was a great match. Mm-hmm. Again, when we talk about these, like, we shouldn't have to tell you go watch it. Just go fucking, like, do it.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it yet, catch it.
I'm super curious who Jackson's going to get next. Because, again, I've been high on his brother. And now, like, to see Jackson come over and get this big win of Najmi in the co-main event, or the third from the main event, was really, really impressive. Very, very curious to see, like... Does he do Nogi? Does he do Trials? Does he do like where?
What does Najmi do coming up after this too?
I don't know. Najmi's in a weird kind of...
He's weird. Like, I know he's got his own academy.
He was talking about doing MMA for a while there. We've seen him training a little bit. His striking doesn't look like...
I don't know. He's just got like... He's super long, but he's got such an awkward build. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd be so afraid if somebody kicked him in the legs.
Yeah. It's interesting. Najmi's in a weird spot right now. I'm very...
His upper body is so fucking big in comparison to his lower body.
Mm-hmm. We have an episode like 40 show about him.
Talking about him looking like SpongeBob.
A little bit, yeah. So yeah, that's that match. Josh, anything else on that?
Nope.
Next match, we have a Noogi match between Gianni Grippo and Samir Chantre. Got his name right that time.
Yeah.
Only been covering the dude for
ever
5 years.
Took a seminar with him when I was like a blue belt.
Did you really?
Back in like 1942.
Oh, that's where the Samir stories come from. I didn't know he took a
seminar. Some of them, yeah. Okay. It was like me and Nick Boley and one of the guys that used to train that disappeared. That dude would have been better than everybody that we've ever known if he kept training, but he didn't. It was like four of us, and we went to this fucking seminar, and it was Vicente Jr. and Samir Chantre. Huh. And I still use some of that shit that he shows. He showed, like, all that time ago. It was great.
Huh. Grippo, dude.
Grippo, you can tell how much he's been training with the Meows.
Dude, that was my first, that was my third thought. And my first thought was, holy shit, Gianni looks like a different dude. My second thought was, yo, his cardio looks good. My third thought was, he looks like he's doing some Meow shit. Oh, right, he trains with Meows now.
He's the third Meow brother.
He kind of is. Like, he is adopted their style.
He couldn't train in New York.
Couldn't train in Marcellus anymore.
Right, because they had the shutdown. And he was, like, quarantine training with the Meows. And when you're training with those two guys, like, you either get good or you're going to get eaten alive. And he got way better.
Dude.
And he looks more built, like he's been like working out more.
Yeah.
His cardio is always been insane and it is continued to look that way. Mm-hmm. And he's just looked amazing. Like he started from the ground and just gave absolutely zero shits.
I was surprised how much leg lock work he put in this match.
Dude, he's doing a lot of it. And again, what's funny was that they brought up the match with Ellis.
Yeah.
There's a highlight reel of he went against some guy and he went really hard because he tried to do that move. Like, obviously, this is something that he's done a lot of. So he's like, if I can get to this position, I'll do it. And he had way more attacks. Samir was on, like, was on his back foot the entire time. Yeah. At no point was I like, Samir might run away with this. He had one submission attempt,
and so, and that was again another scoring thing I thought was interesting was you had Gianni consistently in leg locks in the 50-50, going for
heel hooks, going for straight ankle locks, like looking for it. The other thing was when Samir went for those leg locks or the heel hook.
Mm-hmm.
Gianni just came up and was looking for the back.
That's what I thought.
He pulled another Meow. He was like, my feet don't exist. I don't have any ankles. And there are no bones down here.
And that was the thing that, for me, kicked it off the most. I was like, oh, yeah, Samir went for the leg. And then he immediately, Grippo was like, cool, I can bend my knee like this. I'm comfortable bending my knee like this. And I can take your back off of this. And I went, oh, that's a Meow thing. Where it's like, but it's... it's a confidence in your own defensive ability with your legs.
It's just a confidence in like where you are positionally.
Yeah.
Like you could see he was, at no point did he look stressed out wherever he
and,
was.
And for a lot of like lesser grapplers, that would have been a match ending submission, a match ending position. And they would have been unable to recover that. And I would have the clarity to recover that. And just like the technical ability to make the changes and make the shifts that he had to make with where his hip was and where his knee was that Samir had to get to the back.
Yeah. And
it's again, cool
like
to see,
that heel hook that he hit on Ellis, you can see like he was trying to rip that motherfucker. Because again, it's a shock thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can get fucked up with it for sure, but it's going to get you a flash tap too because you're going to freak out because it's getting ripped and you're like, fuck my leg, and you're just tap. Yeah. Sometimes you just get really stuck deep into it. And you saw like Samir was covering up his feet and Gianni was like, I'm pulling this off. I'm going to do this move.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if you know that I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. And I'll get a little point here here.
The confidence, though. Like, consistently,
yeah, it's just like,
in a way that we haven't seen Gianni at Black Belt, at least since I have been watching him.
In Nogi,
the level of confidence where he just, like, continues to move forward, looks like a different dude. In a way that no one else came out of quarantine that we've seen training like Gianni with the changes that he's made. And it's so cool,
And he's taken some losses. It's not like he's been undefeated, but he's looked good.
But that's the thing that was different. Everything is done. We talked about it, I think, the cool thing is we talked about it a couple of years ago for, like, we made world picks, I think the year after the year that Shane won, because he's in Shane's division.
I thought it was the year.
And you were saying.
Oh, the year afterwards. Yeah, I think said it was 2019
or 20, like.
Dog.
And then you were like, yeah, Johnny's, you know, really good. And you picked against him because you're like, you gave some specific points where, like, he was not able to beat certain guys in certain ways. He has made those changes that we talked about, I think, 2 or 3 years ago in his no-gi game.
Yes. I would love to see him more in the gi at these high levels against even some of the guys that he's lost against recently.
I want
to
see the Murasaki match again at
good old Andy EG. Purple.
Yeah.
That's Murasaki's Japanese for purple, just so you know.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Now you do.
Huh. So, yeah, Grippo looked great here. I cannot wait to see more from Grippo. I'm super excited. Overall, 3 matches were great. There's been some issues with the match footage getting up. I think you have to watch the main footage right now to get to see any of these matches. They're at the end of them. They're good. I think Dan Dykeman also had a really, really nice sub-match. I think he's on deck for the title at Brown Belt as well. I wasn't able to find his full match, but I saw a highlight going around.
Okay.
Looked good.
There was lots of fun, but let's get to the fucking issue at hand. Why are you running ads during grappling matches? 1, 2, why are you running ads on a service that I fucking pay for? 3, why the fuck are you running ads?
Yeah.
Like, bro, this isn't fucking YouTube. You have people that pay for this service. People don't get to watch this shit for free. You pay for it, whether it be on a month-to-month basis or a yearly basis.
It's all year basis now. You can't buy a month-to-month. You can only buy the year subscription to Flow nowadays.
Oh, well, that's why they're charging me more.
Yeah, they limited it like 2 or 3 years ago. ADCC 2019, you couldn't buy the month-to-month.
Interesting.
You have to buy the year now.
Why are you running ads?
Why are you running half like screen ads?
You're literally breaking the screen where you're making the ad a small video, the match a small video, and the background is bright as fuck. And Seth said when it started that it's not them. So, Flo, what the fuck are you doing? Like, 1, you're running ads that have talking that you're muting. What the fuck is the point? Yeah. You're running CDC ads for smoking. Not even like, first of all, you're running CDC ads when the CDC is like, hey, we're still in kind of a pandemic here.
Yeah.
Doing shit where you're in close contact. But that's besides the point. Why the fuck are you running commercials? Why did I see a pizza commercial? Why am I seeing, hey, don't smoke because it fucks you up? Like, I'm a goddamn adult. If you're not going to show me a commercial that's like, don't do a kilo of coke, I'm going to make my own decisions.
Yeah. The ads in the middle of the match just piss me off. Because
the
it's like,
ads at the, it started at the beginning of the Najmi and Nagai match. It was multiple times during the Grippo match. It's unnecessary. It's fucking dumb. And I guarantee, here's the other thing. Why are you doing it during Fight to Win? I've never seen one of those run.
They do run during Who's Number One. I think
it's an issue.
They're not on the videos after, they're on the live broadcast. Like,
but
you're fucking
do they
over
screen
your,
and screen it
during the live broadcast? Yeah,
I can't even remember that shit.
But it's super frustrating.
It's just stupid. Well, why would you do that? You're detracting from a service that you're providing
that I'm paying for. Like,
look, I already got to watch your shitty like 10-minute long same thing commercials. We'll be back. Next match starts in 5 minutes. Watch the same thing over and over again for 5 minutes. Like, Flo runs commercials for their sponsors in between the matches. So it's like, here's a sponsor. Here's your little thing. Great. Don't show me a fucking sponsorship, a commercial, an ad, and anything when I'm trying to watch jiu-jitsu.
Don't make my match smaller.
Put that little thing in the bottom corner.
No, it's I'm already paying
don't
for
do
premium
it.
Service. I pay for YouTube. Guess what I don't see?
Commercials.
Ads. I pay $13 a month. I pay a similar price to Flow Grappling to not see ads anymore. I pay for Flow Grappling to not see ads, to see grappling content. Like,
this is why people don't have television.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to watch bullshit commercials.
Well, no, it's not even like, imagine if a commercial you're watching, it's not that. Like,
let's say you're watching the motherfucking Super Bowl and they're like, you know what? Let's make the Super Bowl really fucking small and play one of these $1 million commercials while you're doing that. The world would fucking explode. Yeah. Well, at least America.
But that's my problem. It's like, you want to run ads? I get ads are a thing.
Ads are fine. Run them in between. Don't do it during my grappling.
Don't run ads.
Don't change it during my programs. Content
I'm watching. It pisses me off. So
it's fucking dumb.
Again, I don't like to talk poorly about anything. Like, that's not what we should show for.
It's a bad idea.
It is unacceptable for a service that I pay for during the thing I'm fucking watching.
Yeah.
Like, a main event title fight for the sport that I cover and watch that I'm super engaged with and super, like, curious about and, like, care about. And it's...
Now we got to hear about Sylvia's COPD.
A quarter of the screen is now this match, and half the screen is now other stuff and an ad.
That's, like, fucking stupid.
Moving on.
Yeah, because I can go on for, like, an hour.
So that's our little rant. I hate that.
Don't do that. If you got a problem, you know what? I don't think the emails to it... Just fucking tag them in social media. Let them know. Like, come up with your own fucking hashtag and tell your fucking friends.
Yeah.
Mine was fuck flow ads. But do whatever you want to do and let them know that shit's unacceptable, especially if you pay for it. They already have ill will from the community because of shit like this.
Yeah.
Like, don't dig the hole deeper.
Yeah. So... Moving on to the preview for the 2021 IBJJF PANS. Pretty stacked brackets, pretty stacked divisions. Josh, where do you want to start with this one? I have all the male adults and women's adults up right now. That's usually what we cover on
the
show.
Let's just do that for right now.
Let's kick it off with the Roosterweight division, a division of 10. So for these big previews for big major events, we're not going to read through every single name. We typically go what we do because we don't have a bracket. We usually don't get a bracket until like Thursday of the event for the black belts or something like that. We typically just read through the big names that we're familiar with and potentially who we think will take the divisions. Again, everyone else on the team hates making jump guesses. I love making picks and guesses. So here we are.
Emil likes him because he uses math.
Emil likes him because he's right a lot.
That's also true.
I think he actually doesn't like it though. But he's just like, he just pulls the numbers and looks at it.
He goes, this is what makes sense. This is the easiest way.
And the
way
rest
to
of us pick with our gut.
We're like, no, bad choice.
He's looking at me on his picture like, oh, that's probably right, yeah. So we have, in the Roosterweight division, we have Hiago Gama. We have Lucas Pinero. We have Lee Rosenfield.
Rosenfeld,
and,
come on.
What did I say? Rosenfeld.
He's, come on, he's part of the
and
people.
And then we have Esteban Martinez.
Yeah.
Zero team.
Honestly, Pinero. Like.
Piero Gama. I think Pinero should take this.
Pinero is, like, for me, is the clear-cut favorite.
Mm-hmm. Without Mikey
we don't
in
know
the division.
What, without Mikey in the
without
division.
Without Mikey and Junie in the division.
Junie's not going to do fucking
oh, no, sorry. I forget. Pinero's rooster weight. I always,
come on, son.
I always forget that Pinero cuts a shitload of weight to make it down a roost. Not,
he probably doesn't cut a shitload.
Doesn't cut a shitload. But
he probably doesn't cut weight to sorry. Do, like...
Pinero doesn't cut weight for like feather bantam and weight. Light feather
and
bantam weight, but I forget that like he is a natural guy that goes to rooster and light feather easily.
Yeah.
So when he's in those divisions without guys like Mikey or Bruno, I'm going to pick for Pinero here.
I'm going with Pinero. It's easy. Yeah. Sorry, I keep moving and Maine keeps shoving this fucking microphone.
Yeah, Josh has had a long event. Like, this is your shortest week at 55 hours. Previous weeks have been like 70 plus hours. So. Good to have you back, Josh. Male light feather division, division of 19.
Josh Cisneros.
Yep.
Dennis Pressey.
Yep.
Dennis Pressey. Kyle Wong. Here. Who else is in here?
Richard Alarcon's in here.
Oh, Richard Alarcon is in there. Sick.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is in there?
Malachi Edmond's in here.
Oh, Malachi Edmond?
Yeah.
What'd you call him?
What'd I call him?
It wasn't Malachi. Just like the first time we said his name and I called him Malachi by accident.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was like, again, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Look, he choked me out once. It's like, you know.
Oh, in a match. That's right.
Yeah.
Back.
He beat that ass.
Yes,
Josh,
he
it
did.
It was fun. That's one of my most fun matches ever.
Yes,
because he's the third
did.
Guy that beat me and then got black belt like 6 months later.
Malachi's fucking good.
Yeah,
he's Alarcon good. Is fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Dennis Pressey is fucking amazing.
I'm going to go Cisneros.
Cisneros, I feel, is like above everybody else.
Just like that style is so hard for people to deal with. Like, tactically, he can make some mistakes
here and
there.
I wonder how his arm is doing, though. Was it his arm or his leg that got fucked up?
It was his leg.
Okay, then I wonder how his leg is holding up then.
Yeah, I assume he's in it, like, he's doing fine, but should be a super fun division. Again, I want to see Alarcon versus Cisneros.
I want to see Cisneros versus everybody. Can we just have everybody versus Cisneros?
Just a big line. So that is the light feather division. Onto the featherweight division. Division of 34. We got Isaac Durdalen. We got Gianni Grippo. We just talked about him. We have Joao Mendes. We have...
don't go so fast. I can't read that fast. And you got this in blind people mode.
Alexandra Sodre.
Oh, yeah. The
turn
old...
off flux mode, Josh. Sorry.
Thank you. That is so much better. If you don't know who he is, he's the guy that does those sick, like,
the body bag choke?
Yeah. That, like, fireman's carry?
Who's that? Oh,
if I'm not mistaken.
Sodre.
Yeah.
If you look, so Josh and I are talking about, there's a guy that has a very, very famous, what I call a body bag choke. It is a modified loop choke, but he finishes it off of, like, a fireman's. And
like
then
a fireman's carry?
And then
just
he'll fireman you, and he'll choke you when you're, like, over his shoulders, and then he'll, like, drop you down, and you're just an unconscious body bag. Very, very famous highlight of him at AJP event doing that.
Who else is in this? Let's see, Daniel Myra.
Daniel Myra's in here as well.
Shane Jamil Hill Taylor.
Yep.
Brian Maheka.
Oh, Shane's in here?
Yeah, he's right there.
We haven't seen Shane in
Dude, I've been seeing a lot of his training footage. Yeah. Go back up again, please, and thank you. Who else is in this?
I think this is probably...
This will be interesting. I want to say... Oh, there he is, Cachinho.
Oh, there he goes. Oswaldo.
Yeah, I was like, where is what?
Yep, Cachinho's in there as well.
Cachinho's in there. I want to say, I'm going to call a mostly American featherweight podium.
I think that's, with Grippo,
I think Shane is going to take it. We haven't seen him in a while.
And Dodolin?
Yeah. And we're going to have Grippo in there somewhere, but then we're going to have like one random Brazilian on the podium.
I think it's a mostly American final too.
I want to say it's Shane. Honestly, either Shane and Gianni or Shane and Isaac in the finals.
I think it'll be Grippo and Isaac, and I'm curious to see how that rematch goes. Just because I haven't seen Shane in forever. Like, I think he could be on the level again, but we just haven't seen him. I'm super hot on Grippo, but Isaac seemed to have his number recently. I'm curious to see how that rematch goes. Or the rematch goes between those two guys, because Isaac has been looking worlds better, and so has Gianni. So... super excited to see
that big division.
Mm-hmm. Men's lightweight division of 34.
Freddie Silva from Alliance Charlotte. Johnny Tama. Who else is in here? Andy Murasaki. There he is. Andy Murasaki's in there.
Jackson the Guy's in here as well.
Jackson the Guy.
Hassim.
That is not Hassim Rita. He is not that small. Come on now.
Igor Nascimento's in here as well.
Is that the Fat Ninja?
It's Igor Tanabe.
He's heavy.
Medium heavy or something?
I want to say heavy. Michael Lira Jr., there he is too. Marcio Andre. Oh, man.
Giovanni Carvalho is in here.
Let's see. Who else?
Kevin Maheka's in here.
Yeah, the Maheka brothers are always in there.
Yep.
This is a tough one to pick. Who's at the very bottom? Okay.
This is a tough one to pick for me.
Let's see. At lightweight, it's gonna be Murasaki's like one gonna be
Murasaki
one of those
and Tama. I kind of want to pick Tama's like hit or miss.
Tama, I don't know. Okay, Murasaki, I'm high on. Obviously, Jackson the Guy also pretty high on.
Yep.
Who else is in here? You keep moving. Lira's in here.
Mm-hmm.
Marcio Andre, like those are my personal front runners.
Andre's in here.
Yeah. I just said that he's right there. Marcio Andre Association.
Yeah.
Since apparently Nova Uniao is like ridiculous to try to be part of their.
Is it now?
Yeah, it has been for years where it's like they've changed a lot of things to their association. That's why like a lot of the guys technically weren't affiliated with them anymore and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Dream drama.
Yep. So, I'm going to go with Murasaki. I'm picking Murasaki for this one. Murasaki's going to be in there.
I kind of want to go with
Marcio Andre is going to be up there.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Murasaki. And the guy.
Murasaki and the guy are going to both podium.
Maybe Tama as well.
It wouldn't surprise me to see Tama podium, but also wouldn't surprise me to see Tama. Because Tama's very hit or miss for me, so neither would surprise me. Men's middleweight, we have...
Tynan Dalpra, Jonatus Gracie.
Yeah.
You have Ronaldo Jr. too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a bunch of guys in Atos and AOJ in this one. Jamie Canuto's in here as well.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness.
Let's see. Who else do we have in here? We have Felipe Silva as well.
Italo Mora. Silva. Yeah, I'm just busting your balls, bro.
Yeah.
Like, who else?
I think we have... I think this is Atos and, it's and AOJ show. I think we have Jontus Gracie, Tynan Dalpra, and Ronaldo Jr.
I think Tynan takes this.
Really?
And also with Jamie Canuto. Like, we're going to see Jamie, Ronaldo, Jonatus, and Tynan. With Tynan being up top. Tynan versus Jamie Canuto for the... Oh, Yago D'Souza's in there, too. But still, Tynan versus...
I'm curious to see Tynan at black.
Jamie Canuto.
In a major. Because I think this will be Tynan's first...
It's his, like, debut at this,
first
G, yes,
major, and that's the thing that I'm most curious about, how he looks, you know, how he looks as a debuting black belt at a major.
Looks good.
I assume he looks good, but, again, this will answer a lot of questions about where Dalpra's at, which I assume is, you know, still one of the best in the world, you know, mm-hmm, as a new black belt. Medium heavyweight division.
Big.
Division of 22. Yeah, that was a division of 26.
Six, yeah.
Medium heavy is division of 22. We have Alec Balding in here. We have
always a solid choice. Nathan Mendelson. You keep seeing the Rita and you automatically assume it's
no,
it's,
I know this
Hasim
is
Rita.
That's Metabuch. I can never say his last name.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's Igor Tanabe right there. 9-9 Japan.
Yep.
A little bit lower down there.
Yeah.
Fat Ninja's pretty solid. Manuel Hibamar. Always a like one of my favorite people to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson Guarisi, Murillo Santana. Let's see.
Jake Watson in here as well.
Oh, yeah. Diego Romulo. This will be interesting.
This is an up-in-the-air division for me. I think that I kind of want to lean...
Manuel Hibamar is always like top in there. Murillo Santana is always like... a monster. Guarisi is always a monster. I'll be interested to see.
Oh, Pedro Mourinho's in here too.
Oh yeah, totally.
I missed
this
him.
Is his first. This is his first one at like first major at black belt.
Is it?
He just got it like within the past year, and nothing has happened really majorly in the past year.
In the gi, yeah.
Yeah, in the gi.
Mourinho, I think, shakes this up. I think Mourinho.
It'll be interesting, but still, Hibamar.
How his cardio looks, I think. I would love to see Mourinho versus Hibamar.
Dude,
that would be a hell
it right
of a match.
Now, Lapel Manuel, I'm telling you, that shit on Jiu-Jitsu X is mind-blowing.
Is it good?
I fucking love it. I'm going to go with Hibamar. I think Tanabe is going to shake some shit up.
I haven't seen
Mourinho's
Tanabe
going to shake some shit up.
So
you're going to have
Alec
Balding.
We covered Tanabe at Purple a bunch, and then like mostly on
Purple,
Quintet.
Brown.
Well, in Brown, I think we covered him at Brown. Like, I don't think we've seen him since Purple, but because
we covered him at Brown, we covered that rematch, one of the matches of Tanabe versus Hasim Rita.
We covered both of them.
In that Nogi match where he heel hooked him, remember? It was
yeah,
like some offshoot.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Thing.
Should be a fun event, should be a fun match. I kind of do want to lean Hibamar here, but
Santana's
again,
always like. Santana's always a monster. Again, Jake Watson. Like, you have, there are some solid, solid dudes in these divisions.
Medium heavyweight is a, could be anyone's game. Someone could have a real good day.
Yeah.
And take home medium heavy on heavyweight.
Heavy!
Who do we got?
Vinicius Ferreira.
Adam Wardzinski's in here.
Is he? Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Gustavo Batista. Why was I thinking of somebody else? I was like, he's with Atos now?
No.
We have
Matt Layton in here as well.
Oh, we haven't seen him a whole lot recently.
Nope.
But he's always like, dude, I'm always high on him. He's super good. Luan Azevedo is also in this one too.
Yeah.
Oh, what's his name?
I'm kind of
Joao Arujo.
Oh, yes. Yep, he's in there.
Yeah.
I'm going with Wardzinski here.
Wardzinski,
I'm
there's no Keenan. I will say that.
Yep, and Wardzinski's like consistently like looked better and better in the IBJJF. Like he's we saw him hit his stride end of 2019 and just like fix a couple of things he was having problems with. With some of the Atos powerhouse guys, you have two of them in the division. We have Gustavo Batista. Oh, I didn't see Batista in the division.
Batista. No, he's good, but like...
I think we see a finals with Wierzynski and Batista, depending on the bracketing.
Batista's like been kind of lukewarm recently. He had that fucking boring match with, what's his name?
At BJJ Bat.
Was it BJJ Bat or was it something else? It was like that tournament that he did. It was like a no-gi tournament, I want to say. Who was in that tournament where, what's his name? The kid that just got his black belt, but he's not going to be able to compete for a while.
Who's number? It was a Third Coast. It was a Third
Coast.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That one. Yep. That one. I can't remember what's his name.
I think we get we got Batista and we have Wierzynski in the finals.
That is a safe bet.
I do think that Batista can get by Wierzynski, but I'm curious to see if Wierzynski can make the adjustments he needs to get by Batista. I think
Leighton's
going to
throw a wrench in there.
Yeah, again, sure. Leighton, we haven't seen a ton of... He just started competing again after a big hiatus. I think he did something we didn't cover within the last, like, month or two.
I think he won it, whatever
he
it
did.
Was. I think
he did.
Won
he won something.
Match.
I forget what it was, but we didn't get a chance to cover it. So that is men's heavyweight division. Onto the ultra-heavyweight division.
You skipped super.
Did I skip super? On men's super-heavyweight division, division of 14,
Felipe Andrew. Yep. You have... let's see. God... Arnaldo Maidana, Christ, oh God, I can't read.
Lucas Norat's in here.
Igor Arujo.
Devontae Johnson's in here. Roberto Portabas.
Yeah.
Helton
yeah,
Jose
yeah.
Silva Jr.'s in here.
Helton Jr., yeah.
I want to see what Devontae does in this division.
Devontae, I think, is going to be like up there, but again... Felipe Andrew, also up high. Arnaldo Maidana, which we've both been like fucking high on.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Who am I going to go with on this one?
I have no idea who takes this division.
Man.
This one's a coin toss.
I'm going to go with Felipe Andrew, although... I think up there is going to be Devontae Johnson.
I want to see how they match up. Like that could be really interesting.
And Arnaldo Maidana, but I'm going to go with Felipe Andrew. He's been super solid as well.
Yes, on the ultra heavyweight division of 8, we have AJ Agazarm.
What? What? Really?
Sorry. We're laughing because AJ Agazarm is a featherweight.
I mean, Victor Hugo is my choice for this.
Yeah, Max Jimenez.
Even against like over Max Jimenez.
Okay. Really? Over Max
Jimenez?
Yeah. Yeah, I give that too.
That Leonardo Carrera, I've been seeing a little bit of him, but not a whole lot. I think he's going to be a threat in here. I think he's like one of the only guys that's really like a big guy.
I think we see a...
Oh, no, I'm thinking of an AOJ guy. So
I think we see a finals with Hugo and Jimenez. I think Victor Hugo takes that versus Max Jimenez.
Okay.
We just saw Max Jimenez in kind of a slower match a couple of weeks ago, and Hugo looked really good a couple of weeks ago.
Dude, those G13 guys, though, are really good, too. That Rodrigo Silva.
Yeah. Why is Agazarm in? Does Agazarm show up for this division? I don't think he does.
I want him to. I want to see him get squished.
We will, if he's in. But I'm just like, it's such a weird... When's the last time we covered Agazarm in an IBJJF? Have we?
I was so close to completely forgetting about him until we brought up his name.
I just saw him fight with Nick Diaz in a parking lot a minute ago.
Like, did he get his ass whipped?
Nah, they're training in like a park, and they're like,
oh, they're playing touch butt in the park,
kind of a little bit. Okay. Yeah, it looks like outside of a restaurant.
That's unfortunate.
If Agazarm shows up, that's super.
I just want to see him get crushed.
Strange.
I want him versus Max Jimenez first round.
That would be funny.
That would be so good.
So I'm gonna go with Victor Hugo here. It's definitely the front runner for men's ultra heavyweight. On the female roosterweight division, division of 2, we have Jessa Khan and Lavina Francesco. That should be a fun one from Czech Matt.
Jessa Khan. She's been good.
She's been very good. I think this will be an interesting one. Female light feather division. We have Patty Fontes. We have Sofia Amarante. We have Maisa Bastos.
Going up. I'm thinking of who's the other one. Who's the other Maisa? That beat Rikako.
Bastos.
Is that her?
Yeah.
Then she's normally down one. Maybe she's like, well, I've beat these girls. We'll do something else.
I'm going.
Maisa is the...
Yeah.
The front runner for sure.
Mice, I think, is very much the front runner for light featherweight. In the featherweight division, we have Bianca Basilio. We have Marina Azevedo as well.
Gabby McComb.
I think we have definitely have a finals with Bianca and Gabby.
Sophia Flores.
I think
Bianca.
You're going to go Bianca on here?
Yeah.
I would too. Yeah. She's had a couple of like harder matches recently in Brazil. And Gabby's looked good on Fight to Win. But yeah, I do want to pick Bianca here in this one. We have a female adult lightweight division. Nikki Sullivan, Luisa Montero. We have Natalie Ribeiro in here. And those are the big ones.
Margo Cicerelli.
Oh, yeah.
Community. Montero is like returning champion. She's been super solid for so long, I think. She takes it.
Yeah, I agree. She had a really, really quick toehold victory.
Who was that against?
I think it was against Kendall.
Was it Kendall?
I don't know why I think it was Kendall, but I could be incorrect about that. But I think she just had a really
quick. It was that Fight to Win, right?
Yes, it was a Fight to Win title fight, and she just won it. So I think, I think Montero was definitely the one to take here.
She's always a fucking monster.
And she's sub-hungry, which I like and appreciate. She's got really nice transitions, and... Again, I've been watching her much more the last year and a half and been super impressed with her game. Adult middleweight, we have a division of 10, one of the larger women's divisions here. We have Vanessa Griffin. We have Aaron Johnson. We have Claire North, tag team.
Sylvia Silva, Danielle Alvarez, Yuki Kaneko. You can't put down the Carpe Diem people, man.
I'm not. I think that...
Brenda... Paleta.
This is a tough one. I'm most familiar with Vanessa Griffin's game, but
Danielle Alvarez is pretty solid as well.
Yeah,
this will be interesting.
I don't know. I think this is definitely a division that, again, I'm most familiar with Vanessa Griffin. She's also local to us.
Bruna Maciel is also on my radar too. So
from Cicero Costa.
Yeah.
Should be again. I can't make a pick for this one.
I'm gonna go with Bruna.
Okay. And then on the medium heavyweight division, we have Elizabeth Clay, we have Anna Carolina, Vieira Sauer, we have...
Jessica Swanson.
Yep.
Andressa Cintra.
Tamara Silva.
And Chloe McAnally. Okay, we've seen Clay versus Vieira, but we saw it Nogi.
Yes, and Vieira took that pretty cleanly over Elizabeth Clay.
It'll be very interesting...
I don't know if the dynamic of that match changes Gi versus Nogi.
I think we're going to have a final of Andressa Cintra and Anna Carolina Vieira. And I think Clay will be in third place.
I can see that. We haven't seen Cintra in a bit here. I think she's done a couple of recent Fight to Wins, but it's been 4 or 5 months since we've seen her. Yeah, should be fun. I'm super excited for this division. I'm super excited to see Cintra versus either Clay or Anna Carolina.
It would be interesting to see what happens in general.
Those should be fun matches. If Cintra can stay away from Clay's leg lock game, that's sort of my biggest X factor leading in, because I'm curious to see if Cintra's going to do trials for ADCC. And if dealing with Clay's leg lock game will be a huge determining factor for if you make it to ADCC or not, for pretty much everyone in the plus 60 division. Female heavyweight division, we have Maria Miesic, we have Elizabeth Mitrovic, we have Maggie Grindotti. Those are the names that jump out at me. I think this is probably Maliasek's division to take.
Maliasek versus Mitrovic is going to be the final.
I think Mitrovic has...
One of those two is going to run into Grindotti in the semis, and they're going to have a hell of a match.
Yeah, I think, for some reason, I think Maliasek has a win over Mitrovic. I could be incorrect. I think it was on Fight to Win, but I could be incorrect about that. I know Majasek has previously held the title. I know Mitrovic has held the title too, but I think that was a brown belt. I don't think that was a black belt. But I could, again, could be wrong about that. I think this is Maria's division to, I think, retain, actually. In the super heavyweight division, we have Michelle Weili, we have Kendall Riesling, we have Gabriella Passanelli, and we have Yara Suarez Nascimento. I think that we have a finals here between Kendall and Passanelli, or Passana. I can never say her name right. Gabriella
Marino.
I'd never see her last name like that. Okay, I do so want we have to go to, we have Gabriella to think, Pisana. Yeah.
Okay, but you also have to think, like, Ryu Singh's, like, a solid choice.
Yes.
But last time out, we saw her feet were fucked up.
Yeah.
Because she got caught.
That might have been
quick.
The Maria match, actually.
It was.
Yeah, it was a toe hold, dual toe hold, and then...
Really fast.
And then, yeah, she just ripped it over.
Yeah.
I'm
going to go with Kendall.
Bro, over Gabrielli.
Yes.
What's your reason here? I'm curious. You just got it? You got a
I'm
feeling?
I'm gutting it.
Okay. I'm going to take the opposite pick there. I think,
that's fine.
I think Gabrielli gets by. Kendall.
She's solid.
Again, neither would surprise me, especially with the top
She's
control that
very,
Kendall has.
Very, very good. She's got great passing. It's mm-hmm. just like, I just...
You feeling Kendall?
I got this feeling
right.
that we're going to be wrong.
it happens. So that does it for IBJJF Pan's preview. We got Zach on that show next week. Zach will probably...
Enjoy that. He's going to nerd out on that one.
Zach's going to have like really good insight and also have like analytics and numbers and also
if
have
this,
looked at the lower belts too.
If I wasn't working the way I have been working for the past almost 2 months, I'd have some really in-depth... for like all of these people, but I'm jiu-jitsu is literally like I'm watching it and I'm like okay, and then like I'm like what happens in 2 weeks,
yeah,
because I literally, you see that right there, like how I don't have a front knuckle.
I thought you were just flipping me off, and I was I see that. Yes, Josh.
Yeah. You see that?
Yeah,
I burnt that whole entire chunk of my finger off.
Gross.
Like, you could see my nail.
Oh, I saw it. Like, you had a blister last time I saw you.
Yeah, I showed you
gross.
That one. Yeah.
So, yeah, we're in the outro section of the show now, Josh. Is
yes.
Working crazy
non-sequitur.
Hours.
Non-sequitur.
If you are working crazy hours, you know, make sure you love your life, but get your life in control so you can watch more jiu-jitsu.
I'm not mad about them paychecks, though. I will say that.
That's always a good thing.
Man.
So, anything...
140-hour paychecks. Yeah.
Anything fun planned for the week aside from, like, working your ass off?
I just switched around my schedule. I was not supposed to be working Tuesday, but one of the other guys was like, I'm supposed to see my grandma, brother. And I'm like, okay. He's like, I'll switch with you, but I'm going to take your day off if you're taking my day off. And he was like, fine. So I got Friday, and then I had asked for Saturday, one, to hang out on the weekend with my wife and kids since school starts this week.
Reasonable.
And also to be on the shenanigans that will be
episode
grappling... 200. Rewind episode 199.99999.
I have to get more mics, I think, actually.
I have one that I can bring with me.
No, I'm not using that mic.
Don't tell me what to do. I'll use my own goddamn mic.
We will not, Josh. I will buy the mic that we need for the show, not the mic that I had you buy
Amazon.
Or sent you or gave you.
Amazon. I bought that one.
Did you buy that one?
Yeah.
Okay. I have one.
It was like $20.
I have two
like,
or three mics that I've handed out to folks on the show, and I forget where they are. I'm just like, nope, the mic's gone now.
The mic was decent. It was just more so the fact that what I was using it for was remote recording. So what are you going to do with that?
I edited the shit out of it, Josh, and it took years off my life editing those shows.
There you go.
So, I got nothing planned this week. I'm just healing, doing rehab still.
How is the back doing?
It's doing better a little
bit.
Yeah, I'm in less constant pain. I have like... My quality of life has, you know...
Improved
significantly.
Hey.
I still can't walk more than, like, 10, 11 minutes without pain.
I see this fucking bike right here. I'm assuming that you've been riding it.
I haven't. The tires are flat right now. I gotta get a pump for them.
Oh, I wouldn't fucking know. Yeah. I'm not...
I've been swimming a lot.
I'm not a weird
bike guy. I've been swimming, like, 4 or 5 days a week.
Ooh.
Like, 1,000 yards at a time.
How's that doing for your cardio?
It's good. I'm still really out of shape, and it's made me... Like, my PT... Like my PT did, like, because I can finally, like, we're finally getting to a point where I'm just like, we're past the hey, swing your leg. Oh, you're in pain? Okay, cool. We're gonna do less now. Like, we're finally at a point where I was like, hey, you can hold some, we can hold like 30 pounds now. Like, you can walk with weight. You can, like, we can actually do stuff at PT. And I was like, hey, I got this trip this weekend I'm going to. I'm not gonna see you Thursday. It's Tuesday. And he was like, you know, can we work hard? I was like, yeah, let's push it a little bit. And he had me doing like bridges and this and weighted stuff. And like, and then I finished that session, and I was like, okay,
like
I'm going to go swim. And then I got in my car, and I was so nauseous. I went, oh, I'm really out of shape. And I think Rich got off work, and I called her. And I was like, hey,
help
I'm
me,
not,
I don't feel
I,
good.
I can't swim right now because I'm, like, super nauseous. She goes, yeah, you haven't done anything in, like, 4 months. Like, that's not surprising. I went, yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm just, like, I'm just kind of surprised that I'm this out of shape.
Here's what I really want to know. Do you wear normal swimming trunks when you go swimming, or do you have like fucking like skin?
I wear board shorts.
Oh, you fucking
like,
loser.
Like more to the knees, Josh.
You fucking loser.
Long. Because I'm unconfident about the whiteness of my legs.
Well, you start working on your tan. You can. You got a backyard.
I got burned this weekend.
It's fenced in. Wear a Speedo. Get that good tan, brother.
Oh, Josh, I'm not trying to bring on to everyone. So I've been swimming a lot, feeling better finally. I'm optimistic. I'm probably going to return to like more heavy duty for work in the near future.
Build up them core muscles. Help build up that shit. But
my daily life as far as like sitting.
Like 2 years ago, I was like, Maine's going to be in a wheelchair soon.
Yeah, I mean, you remember me doing the shows, but like on my knees because I couldn't sit in a chair because it was so painful.
Yeah,
like I couldn't put my shoes on, and like you were like watching me struggle getting up the stairs.
Yeah,
yeah, it was bad.
Yeah,
and now I'm like, I'm in some pain.
You're getting there.
Yeah, I'm optimistic. I moved around tonight on the mats with Rachel. We did an open mat at like 7 p.m. tonight at the gym. That was awesome.
Yeah, just got a little bit of movement in. Just a little movement.
Just like move.
And you're smart. You're not dumb like the rest of us. Hey, let's train with these other guys.
I moved with Rob. Moved around a little more than I should have.
But Rob again is like, you're still a cripple, and you were like,
yeah. There was one point where Rob could have just like murdered me, and he was doing something weird, and I was like, oh, you just tweet. He said, yeah, I would usually do this here, and I went, thanks, Rob. Let's just move on positions.
What a peach, so, that guy.
Yeah, it was cool, but it's cool to be on the rat with someone other than Rachel for the first time in like
forever,
like since pre-surgery, so five months almost. So yeah, I'm optimistic. I'm still in some pain, but it's definitely better, and I'm sitting here, sat here for the hour we did the show, and I'm like, my leg is like a little bothering me,
but not as much as it would be.
Before surgery, I would have been in
please
like
kill me
pain.
Yeah.
After an hour show, so it's like I'm excited. I still can't like walk very far, which is annoying, and
that's
I still can't
so
stand
weird.
Very long. It's a nerve issue, so it's just
that's
like
so weird.
I waited 2.5 years to get surgery, so the nerve's been banged up a bit. But
will that go away? Did they say it would?
It
possibly.
Should. Hopefully it should. But I'm already definitely on the slower end of healing. There, my surgeon even was like, I'm usually discharged by now, but because you're kind of
Fucked up and you kept going
up,
afterwards.
Like, I mean, I want to see
you walked
another,
around with a broken back for a while.
About like a couple years of broken back. But yeah, so it's getting better. And I'm
all
optimistic.
Those times I fucking body triangled you at MMA training.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Yeah, Josh, I do, and it hurt a lot.
Your fucking spine was probably fucked up.
Yeah, it was.
I want to say this because it's funny to me because it just popped into my head. What happens if I was the one that broke your back body triangling you?
I wouldn't be surprised.
That'd be fucking hilarious.
Josh, I lost a bet to you that it was broken.
Yeah. Have you paid that out yet?
I haven't yet. Never going to happen. So, Josh, I got nothing else. I'm excited to have episode 200.
I'm stoked for that.
We got real episode 200 coming up next week for Pans.
Then we got
recap. And then we got party episode 200B. The Reckoning, which it may take
I can't
a couple
believe
days
it's
edit.
Still going this far. Like, it blows my mind.
that I have this
really,
level of consistency.
Dude, it blows. You've been doing it like every... How many shows have we legitimately not done? One? That Christmas one?
We The 2017... We
that
were
first
four
year,
episodes
and I was,
in or five
and I was
episodes
in Florida.
In, and it was like, oh, we've been doing it for a week. We've been doing it for a month. Like, let's take off
Nobody
the show.
Nobody fucking cares.
And then...
After that, that was the last
time. It was
time.
The last show that we haven't done. We bumped one show one day, I think. Other than that, we did
like
a show...
forward or back?
We did a show on a Wednesday instead of... It came out on a Wednesday instead of a Tuesday because we had to record Tuesday. Other than that, I've not missed
consistency
a show.
Consistency on a Tuesday. Mind you, we would record on a fucking Sunday for hours and Maine would take literally... From the minute we finished until right before it had to be up to edit it. Now it means like button, button, button. Cool.
I would hope after 200 episodes I'm better at it now.
Let's so, fucking hope so.
Very excited to talk about this on episode 200. Josh, as always a pleasure. Cannot wait to see you again in a week.
Less than a week. Fucking days.
I'm excited. As always in the show, I'm your host, Mangel, my co-host,
Josh.
And we are the Grappling Around. To see you on the mats, whenever that is, stay safe. If you like the show, please consider sharing it on Facebook with the folks at your gym. It's the best way that we grow the show, and we really appreciate it. You can reach out to us on email.
We also have Instagram. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have Google+.
Until that shuts down.
We have a website.
If you have an event you would like to have us cover, please let us know. If you have a name, like most people do, and you'd like to have us stop butchering it,
let us know.
Reach out to us. The show is also available on YouTube, Spotify, in addition to iTunes and every other podcast service. We very much appreciate your time, and thank you.